Welcome back to Katie's Kitchen. Today we have a very special guest, my great-grandmother. She is a professional chef and she was born in the 1920s.
Hi, everybody.
Now today I will be asking her some questions about what affected her cooking and how she became to be a professional chef. So here it goes. To start things off, what do you remember the first thing you ever cooked?
Yes, it was supposed to be bread. I watched my mother make it several times, and she never made a mistake, but I did. I boiled the water, threw the yeast in, and started out with the flour. It was such a failure, and we had to keep adding more and more flour. And then my brother and I were so disgusted, we waited till it was dark and carried it out to the garbage can.
I heard you lived in the Depression. Did the Depression ever affect how anyone cooked?
Yes, it did. We had special recipes like hot water cake and a special sauce for the top that was made out of cornstarch or flour and a little sugar. And that was all. If we had sugar, we were lucky.
Now, what were the things that were most needed during the Depression for food?
Most needed. Oh, my. Everything. Nobody could afford anything. And when we did have a little money, we couldn't even afford to buy stuff with it. Everything was too high. And bread was only a nickel a loaf. We didn't even have a nickel.
So how did you come to be a professional chef? I mean, how did you get to work in restaurants?
Oh, my husband, he wasn't my husband then. He owned a bar and restaurant, and I needed a job. So I went in and I asked him if he needed help. And he said, yes, you can be a 26 girl. And I said, no, I can't. What's that? And he said, you work in the bar and you're a 26 girl. I said, no, I'm not. I'd rather work in your restaurant. So he gave me the job. And I went to work in his restaurant, and I liked it very much. And his chef taught me so many tricks of a trade, and that's how I started.
That was a really great story. Now, after you and your husband got married, when it was World War II, I heard you lived through World War II, and of course, you lived through World War II, but yeah. You wouldn't be here today. World War II, I've heard that people had to grow their own vegetables to help.
Victory Garden, we called it.
Mm-hmm.
And we had special, they rationed everything, meat, everything. And we used to have to buy it on black market if we could get it. And I knew a man who had a grocery store, and he used to get me things for my baby that I couldn't buy in the store. I didn't have the ration. We had tokens that we had to use, like red was for meat, blue was for butter, you know. It was so hard, but we lived through it somehow.
Now, when it came time that you were much older, when I was little, at 3 years old, I knew how to fold tortellini. I mean, because nobody who's 3 years old can do that unless they have a grandmother with great experience. She actually has twists on recipes that no one else has because it's her own special thing she puts into it.
Yeah.
Things such as tortellini, she might put a tortellini is an Italian dish. It's sort of like a soup. It's a noodle with meat inside, and you fold it to look like a baby bonnet. And you put it in chicken stock broth, and it actually tastes so great. But she puts special things in it to make it taste even better than it would be just by itself. Now, a funny story, I'll let her tell it to you, but is one time when she bought store-bought ones against hers and gave me a bowl.
Yeah. I thought I could fool Katie, so I thought I would try this contadina recipe, and I bought them. And Katie looked at them, and he says, that's a different one, Mamie. And I said, yeah, a different one tasted, honey. And she tastes it, says, that's not yours. That tastes like plastic.
And I was 3.5, 4 years old, and I could tell the difference between what was really heartfelt and homemade, other than just store-bought and put into a box. I mean, there is a difference by having someone who loves how they cook and someone who just throws it together. It's very different, because it's when you have it homemade, it's very heartfelt and loving. And when you have someone give you food store-bought, it isn't the same. And I bet anyone will agree with me on that. But, you know, when I was little, my great-grandfather, who is also a very, very good chef, professional chef, he would cook me breakfast, and it would be probably one of the best breakfasts I would ever taste. I mean, it would be scrambled eggs, but they weren't scrambled eggs. They were puffy and beautiful looking. I've never seen scrambled eggs look beautiful. I mean, you've got to see them to actually... The taste of them were so heavenly, but it would be my grandmother here would make me cinnamon toast and bacon. She's famous for her eggs and bacon and cinnamon toast breakfast. It's the most awesome breakfast. But surprisingly, everything that they made was probably the best in the entire world. By far for me, but do you have any interesting stories about cooking?
Oh, yeah. You wanted to know how I made the eggs fluffy, and I said you just put a little cornstarch in water and add it to the eggs and beat them up and put them in the pan and keep them moving, and that'll make the fluffy eggs. And ever since that, Katie just loved those eggs.
Now, some people have an opinion on bacon, like if it's going to be crispy or if it's going to be soft and weak. But there's a certain way you make it. And how do you make it that way? I mean, how do you make it between crispy and weak?
I keep my eye on it while it's in the pan and I keep turning it. When it gets to that certain way, just a little bit cooked, you know, not thorough all the way through. Yeah, it's cooked, but not crispy. And that's the way Katie likes it, and we all like it that way.
Now, when you make tortellini, the special Italian dish that we will be giving you the recipe for in just a couple minutes, how do you tell when it's when the broth is ready? Like, when it tastes good, or...
Oh, when the broth is ready?
Yes.
Oh, I buy a soup stock, and I add that to water, you know.
Now, do you know the name of that stock?
Yeah, but I buy it at one of those outlet stores.
Smart and Final, isn't it?
Yeah, that's Smart and Final, their brand. And it's really good. It's delicious. And it makes the best chicken soup you ever tasted.
It does. Now, when you're doing the tortellini, I got to tell you, one of the hardest parts is rolling it out, because you can get holes in the dough. Uh-huh. I remember one time when I was little, I tried to make a dough batch while she wasn't looking. And I got to tell you, I wasted half an entire dough lump because I made so many holes in it. But, you know, no one ever got mad because everyone was telling me I was learning.
Sure.
And later, when I was 8 years old, I took a lot of cooking classes, getting into the mood of how to cook. I learned how to cook many things, like vegetable soup. But there is one cooking class that I took that showed me how to make crepes. And my great-grandmother was there as a guest, and the cook was a very nice lady, but the only thing she didn't know how to make was crepes, because they were so fat, they were like tortillas. And when my great-grandmother tasted them, she said to her, "These aren't tacos, sweetie.
I told her
they're crepes."
They were chalupas.
And the important thing to do when you're making crepes is make them very thin. You have to make them even thinner than paper. They have to be so thin you can actually see through them.
Right.
But there has to be no holes. That's the trick of making your hip. It's very difficult. But is there any funny stories while you were...
Oh, yeah. We had neighbors. They were a lovely old Jewish couple. And her name was Fanny Rudnitsky. Her husband is Joe Rudnitsky. And they got mad at each other. and she wouldn't cook for him. He was sick in bed. I think he broke his leg or something. And he called my husband. George went over to see him. He was screaming for George. Went over and he said, George, I'm so hungry. Tell your wife to make something for me. And I said, what's he like? And George says, well, he would like some blintzes. Cheese blintzes. Well, I made them for Joe because I had learned a long time ago how to make them. And I told Joseph, I said, here, I hope you like these things. And I had browned them in the oven with butter. And he said, oh, these are the best I ever tasted. He said, my mother's were so dry, they stuck in your throat. And yours are the best.
Now what we're going to do is get to the recipe part of the entire podcast. So we're going to read you some recipes that my grandmother has concocted and what special things she adds into them to make them even taste better.
Which one?
One of the best ones is tortellini. Mm. This is in its main dish, which sometimes I can throw into my dessert special here. I throw some main dishes in. This is tortellini. First, what you're going to get is a chicken meat. Then what you're going to do is get a fourth a pound of ground beef. Then what you're going to do is get, you're just going to have one egg yolk set aside. But you have to, you know, do that however you want to do it. Now, you're going to get a bowl and you're going to combine Parmesan and Romano cheese for enough for the entire thing to hold together. I'll explain how you hold that together later. 1 teaspoon of nutmeg, which is the special item. Now, you're going to get chopped onions, fresh parsley, a can of tomato puree, a can of crushed tomatoes, tomato paste, oregano, garlic, some pepper, and some salt, and some carrots, and question mark on wine. Why is there a question mark there? Oh. On wine.
Oh, in parentheses.
Is it optional?
Yes, optional.
Okay. Now, when you're making the tortellini, what you're going to do is you're going to explain how to make the dish.
Well, I use my hands to crush up everything. I cook the meat. Then I put it in the processor and really finely grind it till it leaves the sides of the processor. And then I put in a small handful of ground pork sausage, a handful of chicken meat boiled, one egg yolk, Parmesan or Romano combo, enough to hold together. No breadcrumbs, 1 teaspoon nutmeg. Boil about 20 minutes.
Now, after you boil it, what do you do?
I make a no-meat sauce. Chopped onion and olive oil till transparent.
And all the things I just told you.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you make it, how do you make the noodle? The noodle part of the tortellini.
The noodle part? Well, I just, I have, let's see, 4 eggs and meat.
Well, we can forget.
It's a basic noodle dough.
Yeah, so what you can do is just get a recipe online for basic noodle dough, and it will show you how to make the dough. And then what you're going to do is, if you don't have it, you can go out and buy one at a Williams-Sonoma store or somewhere like that, Bed Bath & Beyond.
Right.
Places that have, what do you call those things that make the noodle? When you put it in, it makes it straight, you roll it.
Oh, the noodle machine.
The noodle machine, that's
it. Pasta machine.
The pasta machine. Where you roll it, you're going to put it on number one first and roll it out, and then put it on number two and roll it out until you get to number seven, and keep doing that, and keep
number
rolling
six.
It. Then you stop, though. We suggest you stop at number six because number seven kind of makes holes in it, so you want to be careful. At number one, if it's still very, very thick, do number one again. It might help it. Then what you're going to do is, if you have those little noodle cutters, which makes little roughly squares in the dough, you're going to take the dough and what you just made, the meat filling that we gave you, you're going to make that. Remember, the special ingredient is nutmeg. You put it into the meat, and what you're going to do is put your hands in the bucket where it is, and take out, probably make a tiny ball, probably about the size of, I don't know, a penny, about the size of a penny. And what you do is put it in the middle of the square, and you're going to fold it. Now, when you fold it, fold by diagonal works. Like, if you're doing a diamond, turn it to the shape of a diamond, and take the bottom corner and fold it up to the top corner. Then pinch all the sides to make sure they're closed. Then take the two flaps on the right and left, fold them down, and twist them around your index finger. That will be a folded tortellini. Next, our next recipe is, we have a very good one here. We're just trying to find it. I just had it. Hold on, folks. We had a really great dessert. It was apple dumplings, and I'm trying to find them here in this mess of things.
Here we go.
Here it is. Hold on. Here we go. Mm-hmm. We have a lot of stuff in here, everybody. Hold on. We have, look at this one. I love this one. Plum cake. That actually is a really great recipe if you want to try it. Plum cake is really good. You're going to buy one stick of butter, half a cup of sugar, two eggs, half a teaspoon of baking powder, one cup of flour, and also fresh Italian plums. Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Plums, the black ones.
Right? The black ones.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you're going to mix the eggs, butter, and sugar well. Now, you're going to add the flour and baking powder, a little at a time. Preheat the oven at 325 degrees. Bake for a half an hour. Cut the plums in half. Lay the plums on a, what does that say? Batter?
Lay the plums on the batter skin. You know, lay the plums on top of the batter.
Okay. Now you're going to slide down,
skin side down, yeah.
Skin side down.
Yeah.
Open side up. Use as many as you like. Use as many as you like. I know you will like it because this is a great cake recipe. This is a fast and simple cake. What the best thing about this cake is, though, as I just mentioned, is that it's fast and simple to make. So you can make it in what time zone?
Oh, any time, like 20 minutes.
20 minutes is a really good time for making cake. Here's a good substitution. Instead of using half a cup of sugar, use half a cup of, what is that? Use a 1/4 cup of sugar instead of half a cup, because it can make a little, it can make it
a little too sweet.
A little too sweet for the half a cup of sugar.
Mm-hmm.
Then how long do you bake it for?
Until it's done.
Well,
you can look at it.
Yeah, well, till the crust gets probably golden brown and the inside looks good to you. You know, whatever feels right to you, you take it out of the oven. I'd say about 30 minutes,
yeah,
maybe roughly.
Uh-huh.
Well, it was nice having you on the show today.
Well, I love being here.
And maybe we can come back a couple weeks from now. We'll talk about different dessert recipes that she has made.
Oh, yes, I'd be happy to.
Like cream puffs and things like that.
Oh, yes.
It'll be really yummy. Yes. And anyway, she makes the best cream puffs. For all the kids watching out there, please have your parents supervise what you're doing, because otherwise you'll be dead. You'll use the oven, and please, don't do that.
Set yourself on fire, one or the other.
Yeah. Don't forget to listen to Barbecue Bob on June 26th. He's going to be doing an interview with the company president of America's Best Barbecues.
Mm-hmm.
Don't forget our sponsors are CrazyBagLadies.com. And I will be back tomorrow with some good dessert recipes. And I hope everybody liked today's podcast. And thanks for listening. Bye.
Bye-bye.